The opinions expressed on the Rob Report are the opinions of the host, participating callers and or listener emails, text and or letters, and are not necessarily the opinions of WDAY or Forum Communications.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Port, 970 WDAY AM 93.1 FM. Happy to be with you. We got a good show coming up. In a moment, going to talk about this is my last week on air here on W, or last week of the show, anyway. I'm sure I'll still be appearing from time to time as a guest, you know, on the Jay Thomas show or whatnot. Probably maybe as a guest host from time to time. I don't know yet. A lot of fun things happening. A lot of cool things happening with the Forum Communications companies and all the different platforms we have. They want me to be a part of that going forward. And there's some other areas. And, you know, the thing is, a person only has so many hours in a day. And doing a live radio show takes up, well, at least 2 hours every day that you can't get around. And more than that, you know, given that you got to prepare topics, you got to research those topics, you've got to book guests. It takes a lot of time, but we'll talk more about that in a moment. Coming up at 12:30, Matt Von Panon, editor of the Fargo Forum, is going to be on. They had an editorial on Sunday. It says North Dakota needs a working two-party system, which is kind of the theme of the rest of this show, by the way. The idea that North Dakota needs a working two-party system, because it sure doesn't – we don't have one right now. But I shouldn't say that. I mean, we say working two-party system. Are we assuming that a working system means one – that, you know, elects or achieves a certain ratio between, you know, partisan ideologies? Because I kind of feel like the Democratic process is working. Democrats aren't standing for much of what North Dakotans want, so North Dakotans are electing Republicans. That looks like the will of the people to me. But anyway, we'll have Matt on. We'll have a discussion about that. And by the way, speaking of that topic, Erin Oban's going to be on. She is a state senator from Bismarck, one of the few Democrats who were successful on election night. She won re-election in her what is traditionally a Republican district in a very Republican community in Bismarck. So how did she do it? We'll talk with her about that coming up at 1 o'clock. And then also at 1:30, Madison Rogers is going to be on. A headline about guards stripping tuition funding for ROTC scholarship students. Madison Rogers is a spokesperson for those students. What's going on? We'll get the scoop. That's coming up at 1:30. Plus, of course, your phone call, 701-293-9000, 888-970-9329. Email talk at WDAY.com. And, I, you know, I guess first of all, we should get back to what I addressed here at the top. This is the last week of the show. We'll be wrapping things up on Friday, which, you know, it's bittersweet. It's been a lot of fun working here at WDAY. I'll tell you, I love doing. And by the way, I'm not leaving. I work for Forum Communications Company, which owns WDAY. I'm not going anywhere. The blog's going to be, you know, the same as it ever was. You know, my columns are going to continue. All of that stuff's going to continue. There's some new fun digital stuff that I'm not really in a position to talk with you folks about just yet. But there's a lot of fun things happening. The way people consume information and consume the news is changing, and our company is changing with it, and they want me to produce content in the areas, focus my attention on the areas that are emerging, you know, that's the new and exciting stuff. So I'm excited about that. That's cool. I'm sorry that I'm a little sad that I'm not going to be able to do this show anymore. I'll tell you, I grew up listening to talk radio. My parents always had, you know, talk radio on. It seems like in the background when we were driving in the car. I remember being a little boy in Alaska riding around in the back seat of my parents' car in Wasilla, Alaska, listening to Rush Limbaugh, who at the time was still very new. And I thought it was great. I loved the format. I loved the host setting up a topic and people calling in, and the host going back and forth with the callers. I love the whole thing. But one of my favorite parts of my job now is the opportunity that I get to interact with you folks. I loved the call-ins. I don't know that there's anything I love better than being in a live setting, just mixing it up with people. I don't know what it is. It makes me feel like I'm in my my element. It's what I like to do. And so I am sad that this show is going to come to an end. But there's going to be new and exciting things we're going to do, it's going to be cool. It's going to be really cool, and I'm looking forward to doing them. I mean, because there's a lot of ways to develop or to send this this show to listeners. You know, in particular, I've talked a lot about it, but the podcast of this show is extremely popular. WDAY has, you know, a broadcast region, obviously, in southeastern North Dakota, western Minnesota, northern South Dakota. But the podcast in a lot of this show reached a much larger audience. I mean, every day after the show, when the podcast, I'd get emails and tweets and everything else from people listening to the podcast. So that's a cool thing. And that's going to be part of the strategy going forward as well. There's just a lot of fun things, but for now, Ben, this show, you know, going to be wrapped up on Friday.
It's going to be weird not hearing you on the air as regularly. Cause like this is the, yeah. This is why I started when I started working here about 6 months back was your show. But it's going to be cool to see what new stuff you're going to be doing. Like, I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of cool stuff that's going to be happening. And I'm going to create, and I mean, the cool thing is working for this company, which has just been, you know, wonderful. I mean, I it's hard to be objective, obviously, because they're signing my paychecks, but I'll tell you, I've had a wonderful experience here. And it's been going to continue to be wonderful. I'm excited about all the new cool stuff that we're going to get to do, you know, coming down the pipe here. You know, we've got a lot of different platforms, a lot of different digital platforms. We got a big audience. I mean, there are big changes coming, and I think they're going to enable us to tell better stories, more in-depth stories, stories that are fun, stories that, and also, by the way, make it perhaps easier for you, the audience, to access and interact with that information as well. You know, in some ways, while again, talk radio is wonderful and it's fun and it's live and that's all great, you can listen to a podcast whenever, right? I mean, you're waiting to get your name called at the doctor's office. You can put in your earbuds and listen to 10 minutes of a show, right? I mean, you're driving along. You can hook your phone up to your car audio. You can listen there. I mean, so it's the world's just changing. And, you know, thankfully, I'm going to get to continue to create for all these different platforms. And that's going to be fun, you know, especially because, you know, coming down the stretch, I feel like we've had a pretty good year with the blog and everything. I feel like my writing was very consequential in the elections this year. That's my beat, politics. And I think I wrote things that mattered, that got a lot of attention, that even for people who don't agree with me, agree with my conclusions per se, I think can even say that they came away from something that I wrote or something that I had to say feeling a little bit more illuminated. And that's if I'm winning. If I'm doing that, I'm winning. 701-293-9000, 888-970-9329, email talk at WDAY.com. Brad emails, goes, Rob, I love your show, and I'm sad that it's ending. That said, what is happening to the 9 to 2 slots? Well, there are things happening. I'll say, for the most part, I don't know. I know that Mike Capel, I think, is going to be taking an expanded role in the morning. As far as what's happening over the noon hour, I'm not entirely certain yet. I don't know that I have all the answers to that right off the bat. So you have to stay tuned for that, but I'm sure that's going to be cool and exciting stuff as well. That's all going to be a lot of fun going forward. But, you know, for the meantime, I mean, if you want to keep up with me, just follow sayanythingblog.com. I mean, I think that's always going to be the hub for everything that I've got going on. So any new developments or whatever there. And again, there's cool stuff. And I wish we were in a position to talk about it right now, but we don't have it ready. We don't have the full shape of it yet. But there's a lot of cool stuff coming, in a lot of ways, changing the way that, the people access this information. But, you know, really not much else is changing. I think Ben, there were a lot of people out there who were sort of cheering, I think when I announced this news, you know, they're sort of like, oh, Port, finally, Port's off the air. They were excited about it.
But you're not going anywhere. Like, yeah, you're still going to be making content.
they're going to be disappointed because I am still going to be very much a pain in their rear ends. I'm not going anywhere. We're just changing up some of the avenues down which I push my content. We'll put it that way. But no, I mean it's fun, and I got to be thankful for the folks at WDAY who have been wonderful to work with. Mike Kappel, just a wonderful, wonderful dude. Jay Thomas in the afternoon, obviously on this station, I got my start guest hosting for Jay, being a guest on Jay's show. Jay's awesome. You know, it's been a great experience. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoy doing this, but you know, I mean, in this business, things change, and you know, we're shaking some things up. I think to give our audience for WDAY, for Forum Communications, for all our different platforms, some new looks and some new ways to access information. And trust me, folks, it's not going to be such a bad thing. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come right back. This is the Rob Report, 970 WDAY AM 93.1 FM. Don't go away. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back, Rob Report, 970 WDAY AM 93.1 FM. All right, now that we got that stuff out of the way, like I said, it's going to be the last week here for me on the in this time slot on this radio station. You know, there's still a lot of cool stuff that's going on that I'm going to be doing for Forum Communications Company. It's just not going to be this 2-hour daily radio show anymore, which, you know, again, it makes me sad, but also I'm going to enjoy moving on to new things and continuing to create and continuing to, I like to think at times, drive news cycles in our state. I'm very proud of the work that I do in North Dakota. I realize that a lot of people, it's polarizing and it's controversial and it, you know, people either love it or hate it, it seems like, but I'm going to keep doing it and, I'm going to be as prominent as ever, if not more so in this, but you know, just this station, we're shaking some things up. All right, let's switch gears. I want to talk, this is kind of interesting. This is an interesting story I saw out of Walsh County, and I think that it feeds into a larger point that I've been making for a while, is that North Dakotans are very forgiving of politicians who struggle with alcohol. Now, I say this, in Walsh County, they have an election for the Walsh County Commission. A guy by the name of Ernie Barta is an incumbent county commissioner in Walsh County. On November 2nd, he was arrested for DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. I quote from the Walsh County Record. The record reports that officers had been on the lookout for a vehicle that possibly hit an electrical pole behind Duke's car wash at Devil's Lake, starting a fire. Devil's Lake police officer conducted a traffic stop at the Holiday gas station parking lot, where he stopped Barta's 2019 Ram 1500. The back window of the vehicle was completely broken, and a dent was found on the top back side of the cab. Barta consented to a field sobriety test and failed them, subsequently being placed under arrest at 2:50 a.m. approximately. An intoxilizer was used by the Devil's Lake Law Enforcement Center, showing Barta's BAC to be at 0.23, nearly three times the legal limit. Now, that happened on November 2nd. Election day was November 6th. Guess who got the most votes for the Walsh County Commission, Ben?
I'm going to guess that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Leading vote getter in Walsh County. Now, when I saw that, I was thinking, well, we do a lot of early voting in North Dakota now. So maybe most people had already voted, and after that happened, they couldn't necessarily change their votes. And it was true. There were about 2,184 votes cast before Election Day. But that's still less than half of the 4,602 ballots cast in that county, which, by the way, was a 57% turnout for Walsh County. I don't know how to explain the fact that he was still the top vote getter out of one, two, three, four, five, out of six candidates, a half dozen candidates. He was the top vote getter despite being arrested for allegedly hitting an electrical pole, starting a fire, leaving the scene of the accident, and having a blood alcohol level measured by law enforcement to be nearly three times the legal limit.
Well, this happened on November 2nd, you said, right?
Yeah.
You gotta wonder, did people even have time to hear about that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I have a feeling a lot of them did hear about it. I mean, you're talking mm-hmm. about a small community, right? Yeah. I mean, this is a rural county. A county commissioner gets involved in something like that. Believe me, people know about it. I think what happened is North Dakotans are just forgiving of this sort of thing. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. we're just it's just not something I think that moves the needle with North Dakota voters. And the reason why, I mean, we have another example from this election cycle. State Representative Craig Hedlund, a Republican from District 29 in the Jamestown area. He was arrested for and charged with DUI in early October. And yet easily won re-election in his legislative district. He wasn't the top vote getter, but he got about 1,000 more votes than the third place person. Dang. So, I mean, he won pretty easily. And there was plenty of time. You know, that was reported widely in the media before Election Day. It happened well before Election Day. Voters just didn't seem to care that much. On the statewide ballot, we had Tax Commissioner Ryan Rauschenberger, who was arrested and tried and convicted of DUI last year. Coming off an election cycle, the previous election cycle, he had to take, I think it was like a month off from the campaign trail to seek alcohol addiction counseling after I broke a story about his struggles with alcohol after his vehicle, driven by another person, was involved in a DUI incident. Rauschenberger's opponent, Kylie Overson, made a lot of hay out of that incident. I mean, she ran video ads literally using the dash cam video of Rauschenberger's arrest. He won again, easily. And there comes a point at which you start looking at this. I mean, we could talk about on the statewide ballot, you know, Josh Boshe, who obviously lost his election bid for Secretary of State, but has been elected in District 44 in Fargo twice, despite having alcohol-related driving offenses on his criminal record. We could look at legislators. I'm trying to think of a single legislator that has suffered any sort of political consequences for having a DUI on their ballot, on their record, and I can't come up with one. You know, there's more than a few of them, past and present, that have been out there, and I can't think of a single time where getting a DUI has hurt somebody's political career in the state of North Dakota.
I'm not sure it's so much North Dakotans are forgiving as they just don't really care. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we are a drinking state. You know, every once in a while we'll get those measures in. North Dakota's a drunkest state. We have issues with, a lot of alcohol-related fatalities. At times we have been at the top of the lists for those sort of things. I mean, we are a drinking state. So maybe is it a situation where we just don't care that much? You know, I'm honestly asking. I mean, I don't want to say spin. That makes it sound like I'm trying to hide something. But my interpretation of it in the past has been that we're forgiving. Right? We're moving in a direction where that sort of thing just doesn't matter as much anymore. And we're more forgiving of it when people struggle that way. I mean, if they're otherwise a good person, then we're not going to necessarily. And I think generally that's a positive thing. But also, I don't know that we should be completely indifferent to this sort of thing either. What do you think? 701-293-9000, 888-970-9329. Email talk at WDAY.com. Caller, Dean, you're on. What's up?
Hey, Rob. I've always been a big fan of the Norway prison-style system where it's like more treatment-based and to kind of help each other instead of kind of go after each other like viciously. And I think that's a good thing because I think people will be more likely not to kind of hide their problems and maybe even like seek help in the first place and stuff like that. So, like, I think it's probably a good thing in the end, and I think it's only would be good for the future, too. And on that note, too, I just tuned in and heard you leaving the show and just wanted to wish you a really good future and what you do next as well.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be with Forum Communications Company, as I mentioned, and we're going to be doing a lot of fun stuff. But the focus of this company going forward is digital, digital content. Of all types, video, audio, writing, images. I mean, that's where they want the focus to be. And to be honest with you, that's my background. I broke into this business. The reason why I'm a talk radio show host today is because of the work I did in the digital medium, starting a blog, building an audience on my own, and then finally being able to work in a company like Forum Communications, And getting to do a talk radio show, which I, by the way, I dreamed of for years. I mean, maybe this makes me a huge nerd, but when I was a kid, you know, writing columns and doing like talk radio was something I'd always kind of thought of. So, thanks for the call, Dean. I appreciate it. I do. I mean, like you, I want to think of this as maybe we're becoming a more forgiving culture, but there also comes a point where, are we being indifferent to something that's kind of dangerous? Anyway, maybe a discussion for another day. We're going to take a break. Fargo Forum editor Matt Von Pannon's going to be on, and we're going to talk about, do we have enough partisan balance in North Dakota? Stay tuned. We'll talk about it coming up here next on the Rob Report. Don't go away. Welcome back, Rob Report, 970 WDAY AM 93.1 FM, 701-293-9000, 888-970-9329. Email talk at WDAY.com. All right, let's talk about the forum. The Fargo Forum had an editorial over the weekend about North Dakota needing a working two-party system. The editorial reads, I quote, "We take no satisfaction in noting that with Heidi Heitkamp's defeat in the U.S. Senate race, North Dakota Democrats soon will not hold any statewide offices. Although the North Dakota Republican Party's rise in politics has been unfolding for more than 25 years, it's still a rarity, even in this now thoroughly red state, for one party to have a total lock on statewide offices. No political party, no matter how successful at the ballot box, has a monopoly on good ideas. Public policy benefits when it results from robust debate and clashing viewpoints are melded, incorporating the best ideas from competing sides. North Dakota Republicans simply don't have to listen to their Democratic colleagues, and even diehard Republicans should realize that's less than optimal for public policy and accountability." Here with me to talk about that is Matt Von Pannon, editor of the Fargo Forum. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Rob. How are you?
Good, good. I think some people read your editorial and take it to mean that you're calling for like some sort of affirmative action for Democrats. Like we should vote for Democrats just because they're Democrats. But in fact, you don't. You point out that you endorsed Kevin Cramer in the last election along with other Republicans. I mean, so in the papers endorsed the Republicans who won the elections and obviously contributed to the supermajority that we have now. Really, I took your editorial as a call to Democrats to do better. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's a fair way to read it, and also obviously for people to consider, the candidates first and not so much the party. It's true that we did endorse all Republicans on the North Dakota side in this election cycle. That hasn't always been the case. The Forum editorially has always leaned more conservative, more Republican, but we do try to look at all the candidates and we do try to endorse the people that we think are best suited for those offices. So we did on the Minnesota side, we did endorse some Democrats this election cycle, and in the past we have endorsed some Democrats on the North Dakota side as well. So. We kind of took that head on because we knew that people might, point that out, that we did endorse Republicans, and that's, in fact, what the state ended up with this cycle. But we do want the Democratic Party to raise its game, and we think that having, the clash of ideas, the clash of thoughts is really important to good government.
Yeah, I agree. But one thing that I would... One thing that I think I would push back on a little bit is that the clash of ideas I don't think necessarily necessitates having Democrats. In fact, I would argue that one of the strengths of the North Dakota Republican Party is that it's really not a lot of lockstep ideologues. If you look at the Republican majorities in the legislature, just as I think probably the best microcosm for the situation that we're talking about, it runs the gamut. I mean, you have some Republicans who I think ideologically are borderline Democrats going all the way over to Republicans who are very, very conservative. In fact, last week I had on State Representative Chet Pollard from Carrington, who's one of the one of the Republicans who are vying to be House Majority Leader in the next legislative session since Al Carlson lost his reelection bid in his Fargo district. And something that he talked about, one of the most important jobs was holding his caucus together, and you have all these different factions even within the House caucus, and then you go over to the Senate side and they have different factions, and there actually is a lot of diversity even within the Republican Party, and frankly, man, I think that's their strength. I think that's they keep winning elections because in fact Kevin Cramer told me this a long time ago: you win by adding to your coalition, not by subtracting from it.
Right. No, that's a good point. I mean, and there's certainly is more of a spectrum of ideas within the party than there probably once was, and that's, I think we're seeing that nationally as well. And you're right, there is jockeying within the party, but I don't know that I would agree that that there are Republicans in North Dakota that more closely identify as Democrats. I think I would take a little bit of issue with that, but there's certainly you're right.
I take a little bit of issue on the idea that the forums
in the party for sure.
I take a little bit of issue with the idea that the forum's editorial bent, maybe outside of endorsements, is conservative. So we may have differing points of view on this, which is fine. I'm not. It is what it is.
Well, a lot of people don't know that, you know, the forum, and this goes way back, but you know, the official name of the newspaper was the Fargo Forum and Republican,
right,
for many years, and it was formed as a, you know, editorially as a Republican mouthpiece, and you know, it's had that consistency actually all through its time. Now, granted, what you're talking about is the difference between editorial pages and perhaps the news coverage, but you know, we find it interesting when people see us as a liberal newspaper or as a conservative newspaper. You know, editorially, we've been conservative for many years, and that's been very consistent.
Yeah, I don't know that a lot of Republicans feel that way, but again, what does it mean to be? I mean, Donald Trump is I think he is obviously a Republican. He's the leader of the Republican Party. He's our elected president at the moment. And he espouses positions, frankly, on economics that I read in Byron Dorgan's book, Take This Job and Ship It, that he published, 2006?
Sure.
So Donald Trump on trade is certainly not the sort of Republican that I grew up in obviously the Reagan era with Milt Friedman and a lot of the, you know, free markets and free people and freedom to choose. And Trump is, you know, tariffs and, you know, sort of, I don't know, protectionism, a lot of people accuse him of. So.
Sure.
I think that's different. What does Republican mean? I mean, the Republican brand is even shifting. But as far as Democrats, I mean, I think a lot of times we talk about the national party, and I think that's obviously that's an albatross around their necks. You mentioned it in the editorial.
The National
Democratic Party doesn't seem to care about rural America that much anymore. I think the Democrats here are suffering because of it. But how much also, I mean, I look at the local Democratic Party, and there's just not a lot to be inspired by. You know, the state-level Democratic Party, I don't know, really does a very good job connecting with voters as measured by election outcomes.
Well, we point this out in the editorial. I mean, it wasn't all that long ago that, you know, Democrats held all the congressional seats in the state. So the state has a sort of a path that in which it splits its vote. And we saw that for many, many years, you know, where you'd see Republican governors elected and Democratic congressional members elected. So I don't know that North Dakota has always been, you know, sort of one way or the other. I think pointed out many times on your show, I mean, in North Dakota of all places, I think how people connect with the voters almost on a personal basis is probably as important as their party.
Sure.
People like certain people and they reelect them. And I think that's true in a state that's, you know, that's around 700,000 people. I mean, you can get out and connect with a lot of people and even just how their offices work, you know, the constituency work that they do for people, that's really important. We've heard that many, many times over the years. You know, people that get stuff done for their constituents tend to be reelected. So I think it's very personal in a state like North Dakota. And we do point out in the editorial that you know, we're seeing something that doesn't get talked about a lot nationally, but the parties are really lining up almost by rural and urban constituencies. And that may even be happening to some degree in North Dakota, where you're seeing pretty consistently now, you're seeing the larger cities, not so much in the West, but certainly in the East, they're getting bluer in their votes, and the rest of the state is getting redder. The rural areas are getting redder. So we're even seeing some of what's happening. You know, you saw Houston, Dallas, you know, go very blue down there in that Senate race, and the rest of Texas go red. So you're seeing that, and I think you're seeing that even in a state like North Dakota.
Yeah, it could be. Although if we roll back the clock to 2016, Republicans did make some gains in Grand Forks legislative races, in Fargo races,
that's
picked
true.
Off some Democrats. So, I mean, I think maybe what we're seeing in some of these, it's hard to say. And it's Democrats are at such small minorities now that any increase now kind of, I think, almost looks
sure
unusual. It's hard to say. I guess I would need to go back and study it a little bit further. I don't know. A lot of people have been saying this, that North Dakota has become more conservative. And I don't know that that's true, Matt. I think that North Dakota is still chock full of voters who are more than happy to split their ballots between Republicans and Democrats for the right candidates.
Right.
I don't think
I
that North
agree.
Dakota has shifted
that.
All that
I
ideological.
Think that's true.
Yeah. I think what shifted is the parties. I think the Republican Party has become more populist, which I think is right in line in a state that has a state bank and a state grain mill. I think that's catnip for a lot of North Dakota voters. And I think the Democratic Party has become has shifted to the left and has become more focused on urban centers. And so I don't know that it's so much that the ideology in North Dakota has shifted, but the parties have shifted. Is that what you see as well?
I think some of that is probably true. I think it'll be interesting to see if the Democrats can sort of form, some form a base around any candidates that are coming up. I mean, we point out in the editorial as well that, former Governor Ed Schaefer, he went about fairly consciously trying to build the party. And he brought in people that, were
his
starting
protege,
to get elected at the lower offices. And we've seen that ascension, over and over and over, where there's just kind of like the next person up. And that could be because of the strength of the party, but it also could be because of the strength of certain candidates. And it'll be interesting to see now, many people have suggested that the Democratic Party may be at an all-time low in the state. It'll be interesting to see if that changes here in the next several years, if the party is able to reform itself in some ways or find candidates that resonate with people. That'll be something very interesting to watch in the next couple of years.
I thought that Democrats had a real opportunity when oil fell off. We saw some tough sledding with crop prices. I thought Democrats had an opportunity. It's tough, I think, to connect, to convince an electorate that is seeing, these huge surpluses in state government. You have a state government that really doesn't have, they should have said no to some things, but they didn't have to say no to things. And they really didn't say no to anything because, we had a ton of money around. It's tough to win in that environment. And so I got that. But when the bottom fell out of the oil boom, when the crop prices plummeted, I thought Democrats had a real chance. And so far, 2016, now 2018, they're just not capitalizing on it.
And it could be too. I mean, we've seen this a little bit in the past. Sometimes there's a lag, too. Sometimes there's a little bit of a lag.
Sure.
People, maybe they're not feeling the pinch of certain things quite yet that may be coming or have started to form. So sometimes these things are a little hard to predict. We saw that in the 90s a little bit, too. So it's possible that some of these issues that are starting to become pain points in North Dakota may rear their heads a little later than maybe we expect them to, too. So it's really hard to know. Time will tell, as with all these things. But we're sincere in saying that, we do think that it's important to have a wide variety of opinions and thoughts, especially when it comes to forming good government.
Sure.
And we're concerned about it becoming overwhelmingly red right now.
Yeah. I agree with that. And my only pushback, like I mentioned, is I think maybe the Republican Party has more ideological diversity within it than sometimes they get credit for. But
sure.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And by the way, I'm going to have State Senator Erin Oban, one of the few Democrats who knows how to win in Western North Dakota. She just won re-election in Bismarck. So I'm going to talk with her and figure out what's her secret sauce. What is she doing? Because she is a lonely dot of blue in Western North Dakota.
Yeah,
Matt, thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Rob Report, 970 WDY AM 93.1 FM. Don't go away. Welcome back, Rapport 970 WDYAM 93.1 FM, 701-293-9000, 888-970-9329, email talk at WDY.com. I want to pause for a moment here to obviously highlight the fact that it's Veterans Day today, and it's such an important day. I hope you spend some time today. Thank some of the veterans around you. You've definitely got some in your life somewhere. You know, for me, it's my father. He's a Vietnam War veteran. I spoke with him earlier today. He won a Silver Star for his service in Vietnam, four oh. Bronze Stars, three Purple Hearts. You know, dude's a hero. It's the World War One. Obviously, it's the 100-year, the century anniversary of World War One. And I was just looking up my great grandfather, George Alexander Ports. In fact, I've got it on my screen right now. I'm looking at his World War One draft card. You know, my great grandfather was in World War One. My grandfather was in World War Two. My father was in Vietnam. I did not serve in the military. I'm not sure why. I guess it just never, you know, at the time when I was growing up, when I was of age to make that decision. I don't know. I chose a different path. But our veterans are so important. And what they give up, not just what they give up, but what their families give up, too, mm-hmm. In order to have them in the conflict, you know, to have them away from home for such long periods of time. It takes an enormous amount of sacrifice. And thank you, I think, is where we start when it comes to that stuff. You know, there's a lot more that goes into it as well. Speaking of which, also, as a local, Netflix has a new documentary out, or I guess it's a series of, I don't want to say it's a documentary because it's a series, a documentary series, I suppose. And it's called Medal of Honor, and it's stories from Medal of Honor winners. And by the way, one of the Medal of Honor winners was a guest who's featured in the Netflix show, and is a North Dakotan, was a guest on this show not so long ago. He actually endorsed Kevin Cramer for the United States Senate. Clint Ramasha is part of that. I haven't watched it yet, but he's a North Dakota guy, and his story is told in this Netflix series. So if you're looking for something to look into this Veterans Day, worth checking out. And again, thanks a veteran. Think about donating some of your time. Think about donating some of your money to veterans' causes. Boy, is it worth it. They could use our help. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk with State Senator Aaron Oban, a Democrat who got reelected in a Republican town in western North Dakota. How did that happen? What's her secret sauce? We'll talk with her coming up next year on The Rob Report. Don't go away. Welcome back to Rob Report, Hour 2, 970 WDYM 93.1 FM. Happy to be with you. So we just finished up a discussion with Matt Von Panon on the Fargo Forum, talking about their editorial, saying that North Dakota needs a working two-party system, which I don't like that headline. I mean, I get the argument that they're making, and I agree that the best public policy, I think, comes from robust debate that includes a lot of different viewpoints, and in the end is ultimately, I think, an amalgamation of a lot of different viewpoints and priorities. That, I think, is the best sort of public policy, usually, generally speaking. That being said, I mean, I think the two-party system is working. It's just voters aren't choosing the candidates of one of these parties very often in North Dakota, at least not a majority of voters. But the exception to that rule, an exception to that rule in our state, is State Senator Aaron Oban, who is the Democrat. Aaron, I don't think there's a Democrat west of you that's in public office right now or has been for some time now.
No, that's right, Rob. Yeah, west of the Turtle Mountains. Since I was elected 4 years ago, for the first time, I've been the only Democrat west of the Turtle Mountains.
So what's the secret? Like, what are you doing that the rest of them aren't doing?
Well, I don't know that it's really much of a secret, Rob. You know, I take all of the suggested ways that any sort of campaign strategist would tell you to run an election. And then I work my tail off and, you know, throughout the 4 years that I've been in the Senate, I've tried to be accessible and reasonable. And most importantly, I think, talk to people who don't always agree with you. And I think that's really a symptom that we're seeing across the country that is a huge problem in our politics. We don't have to agree on everything, but it's like we don't even want to talk to each other anymore. We don't want to understand where somebody's coming from. So I guess I try to do that. Whether or not that's the sauce, you know, I think is yet to be determined.
I think it goes a long ways. I mean, I will tell you, I think, a product of Kevin Cramer's success. And I'm not saying this is why he won. There's a lot of variables that go into this. Why people vote the way they vote is usually very complex and very specific to the individual voter. So I think sometimes we get carried away, you know, trying to hang election outcomes on one variable or another. But I will say that one variable I think that was very successful for Kevin Cramer is that the public perceived him to be much more accessible than Senator Heitkamp was. His willingness to go on talk radio, I think the talk radio town halls he held consistently helped him. The fact that he was even willing to go on the senator's brother's radio show when asked helped him. Meanwhile, Senator Heitkamp boycotted a lot of us here on the right. Myself, some other talk radio hosts I can mention. She froze us out, didn't want to talk to us. Aaron, that runs contrary to what you're just telling me, is your willingness. Every time I've asked you to come on the show, you've come on. Most Democrats, by the way.
I would never claim to know how to run a statewide election, how to win a statewide election. You know, I've run in this district in the middle of Bismarck twice now. And I think part of, you know, you and Matt talked about this earlier, about how some of this stuff is just really personal on how you connect with the voters. I think that part of the reason why I have been successful is just because I'm part of this community. I see people where they are. I go to the grocery store and the dry cleaner and the daycare, and, you know, I go to church with them. And when I show up at their doorsteps, I don't know that they see me as a politician as much as, you know, maybe somebody who lives down the street or around the block or whatever and is trying to help. That certainly doesn't mean that I'm not met with opposition. You know, nobody wins an election with 100% of the vote, even if you don't have an opponent. And I think that's, you know, that's healthy. It makes me work hard. But every day that I walk into this work, Rob, I talk to Republicans all day. I would be not talking to anybody if I wasn't talking to Republicans in Bismarck, North Dakota. So I think that just makes me, you know, more connected with people on both sides of the aisle and then people who don't identify with a party at all.
Do you think it's fair, and going back to the forum editorial, I mean, one thing that they talked about, frankly, one thing that I've talked about, this is not an uncommon point of view, but is that your national party does not help you at all. That in fact hurts
sure
you very
as hell
much.
Doesn't. Sorry.
Right.
It does not.
It could at times seem that the National Democratic Party is indifferent. You know, I don't want to say they don't care, but I think they're indifferent to places like North Dakota. I don't think they care about the priorities here. I don't think they care much about the issues that impact us the most here. If they're not outright in a lot of ways opposed to it. And I'm thinking back to earlier this year, the Democratic National Committee at one point had a rule or had passed a rule which said that they weren't going to take money from the fossil fuel industry. Right. So they were saying, well, we are closed off. We don't want to hear them. We don't want them to support us. The fossil fuel industry. I mean, they're basically treating them like they were Nazis or something.
Well,
that's a hugely important issue.
I don't know if you remember this, but
industry.
I was one of the first people here in North Dakota to push back on that. But I also think we need to separate a little bit. Political parties' purpose is not to create good policy. That their purpose is to win elections, and so right. Whether or not they feel like that's a winning strategy, I would of course disagree with. But I don't ever look to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party for good policy. I work to my colleagues. And I think that's, you know, whether you're at the federal level in elected office or if you're a school board member, I mean, that's really where those ideas come from, I think.
So then why be a member of a party? I mean, we just got done talking. I mean, you just said sure, the National Democratic Party sure as hell doesn't help you. So why belong to a political party? Why be a Democrat?
Well, I mean, I guess I didn't grow up
or Republican for that matter. I'm not meaning to put you specifically on the point, but I mean if that's how it is,
you know,
why?
Unfortunately, it seems like this is the way up to this point, and who knows how things will change down the road, Rob? I have no idea. This is like the function that exists, and so certainly the majority of the issues, I would say. I align with as a Democrat because I support public education. I support people's access to health care, to retirement security, to going to work in safe working conditions and being able to come home at the end of the night. Those are probably universal values, but those are the reasons why I identify as a Democrat. So, you know, I can't define a national party any more than, you know, I'm sure you're not calling Dick Dever here in Bismarck to ask him what the, you know, what the Republican Party nationally is going to do. I just try to go about my business the best I can and work hard no matter who is in office, to just try to pass good policy for people. That's all.
No, we were talking about, you know, statewide races or whatever, and I do think accessibility is important. Now, but you have worked on a statewide campaign before. You ran one of Ryan Taylor's campaigns. Was it the gubernatorial campaign?
I worked on Ryan Taylor's governor's race. Yep.
What did you learn from that in terms of trying to win an election on a statewide ballot? And obviously, you know, Ryan was not successful in his campaign. What did you learn from that?
I think I learned actually probably firsthand from him just how different running a local race is and running a statewide race. Ryan had this ability to connect with his voter. He was elected in a Republican district too, but those are the people who knew him best. When you're introducing yourself much more broadly statewide, if you don't have, as much as we hate that money is involved in politics the way it is, if you don't have the resources to compete, it's going to make that very, very difficult. But when I run my race here locally, I literally knock on thousands and thousands and thousands of doors. I don't know how you do that at a statewide level. You can't knock on hundreds of thousands of doors yourself as a candidate and try to connect with the people firsthand with who you would be serving. And so, you know, when you asked me to come on here, Rob, I made a list really quickly just of the issues people talked to me about at the door, and not one of them was, you know, this is a Democrat issue, I want you to work on this. This is a Republican issue, I want you to work on this.
Yeah. Well, I think that makes a lot of sense, and particularly at the local level where it gets, I mean, things get real at the local level. I think sometimes when you're, as you move up the chain of government, I think you get further and further removed from where the rubber meets the road. I think it's a lot harder, I think, to be partisan in what, you know, what legislative races are, which is hyper local elections. 701-293-9000 if you want to join the program. 888-970-9329. Email talk@wday.com. Go ahead, Aaron.
Frankly, my opponent did try to make this all about partisanship, and that's fine, because usually that's a winning message, I think, when you are a Republican in North Dakota. But you know, what you can't replace by rolling out big endorsements from Republicans everybody knows is a connection that you have with the people you're serving. And that's what I've worked hard to do. That's what I'm going to work hard to continue to do.
What would your advice be to other Democrats who are just scratching their heads trying to figure out, how do we win elections in this state and statewide? I mean, how do we get to a point where a majority of North Dakotans are going to be comfortable? Because we've done it in the not so distant past. We did it. I don't think that the North Dakota electorate has shifted that much ideologically. I think we're still pretty much the same state we were, you know, 10, 15 years ago, when we were splitting votes on the statewide ballot between Republicans like John Hoeven and Democrats like Kent Conrad, Earl Pomeroy, and Byron Dorgan. I think we're still very much that state. I think the parties have shifted, but I think North Dakota's the same. So how do Democrats get back to a point where they're going to be able to appeal to more North Dakotans than they're appealing to now?
Again,
I'm putting a lot on your shoulders, Aaron. Save your party.
Yeah. Well, but that's, again, I really try to make sure that when I'm talking to people, I'm not talking on behalf of Democrats. I'm talking on behalf of my district. And maybe that means I'm not very good at, you know, playing the party role that a lot of people play. But if you ask the majority of my legislative colleagues, Republican or Democrat, not many of them is that their focus either. Certainly there are a handful of them, but that's not been my focus. What I would say to anybody who wants to try to run for office is, don't run if you're just trying to win some political office. If you are not connected and committed to your community, you're wasting your time because you're not going to care about anybody you're trying to serve.
Yeah.
And I guess when I was recruited 4 years ago, you know, part of the reason they asked me is because they felt like people knew me in this community as a teacher, as somebody who, you know, plays piano in my church, in all of these ways that people don't immediately look at you and think, oh, you are a partisan, you know, politician. Yeah. So I guess to anybody who's run, that's what I would ask of anybody running for office, is that they care enough about their community that that they would help people regardless of if it's through elected office or not.
I think that's interesting. I want to ask you, because you talk about going around and you're not necessarily talking to people as I'm a Democrat and you're downplaying the partisan issues. But you also acknowledge that running as a partisan Republican is politically advantageous.
Oh, sure it
in
is.
North Dakota. That's obvious. I mean, because North Dakota hasn't voted for a Democratic candidate for president, for example, since LBJ, right? I mean, I don't think either of us were alive the last time it happened, unless you're a lot older than I think you are. We're in a situation here where, you know, there is a partisan advantage for Republicans, definitely. Is it dishonest in I don't know, dishonest, that's the wrong word. Is it evasive, maybe, to say that, to downplay your affiliation with the Democratic Party? Because I think that's something I hear a lot of people complain about that. I heard a lot of people, frankly, complain with Senator Heitkamp about that, which is, you know, oh, I'm an independent and everything else. And yet she'll caucus with the Democrats when elected to that chamber. You know, she's a vote towards a Democratic majority that would have somebody like Chuck Schumer at the top of it. I mean, there's only so far you can run away from that, isn't there?
To be clear, I've never run away from the fact that, I mean, it's almost, in Bismarck, Rob, it's almost like wearing a scarlet letter around. Like, I am a Democrat. I don't hide that. Right. But I also don't lead with it, because I don't think the majority of people, when you're having a conversation, when you meet somebody somewhere, I don't think the first thing you do is make sure that you tell somebody, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. Okay, now what do you want to talk about? I think that's silly and stupid, and why we're at the point where we are. If that is all people want to lead with, I just don't, you know, when you're talking about the best ideas coming from robust debate, I had my Senate Republican colleagues calling me throughout this campaign. Certainly not all of them. I know there's a good chunk of them that would have loved to see me defeated. But there were some of them, Rob, who called me and said, Aaron, you make debate in the Senate chamber better. The best sessions they ever had is when the split between Democrats and Republicans was closer, because it made people work across the aisle. Now, obviously, voters have a say in how that makeup is. I mean, you talk about that plenty. But I'm not going to lead with my partisanship, not because it's not beneficial, but because I don't think it's the be all end all.
Believe it or not, I would vote for Democrats. If I saw a place for myself where I felt like a Democratic candidate, I would vote for a Democratic candidate. I was very, very close to voting for Josh Boucher this cycle. I wrote a post about it and explained my reasons why I ultimately didn't. But I would vote for Democrats. I'll just tell you, I don't see a lot of room for people like who think to see the world like I do in your party. In fact, I, for the most part, we seem to be vilified. So that's something I struggle with. I would vote for Democrats, though, absolutely, if
I
found the right candidate.
And I'm not interested in vilifying anybody. I see plenty of people doing that everywhere. And that just does not help anything. And part of that, I sometimes tell people the best lessons I learned in how to approach anything I do was when I was a waitress in our small town cafe growing up. And the farmers who would walk in with my dad, you know, none of them were, I would never agree with them on everything, but I treated all of them the same. And that's what I try to do. So when I see other people being vilified, when I see people doing the vilifying, it's so not beneficial to me. I try really hard not to be a part of it. It doesn't mean that I don't have really strong feelings about things. But if we don't start being a little bit more thoughtful about the words we use and the way we talk about people, we are just going to be more and more polarized. And I am exhausted by it. Exhausted.
I am too. I had a job too early on in my career that prepared me for what I do now. I used to serve civil pro. I used to serve people like eviction notices and mortgage foreclosures and divorce papers. And
that's way worse.
I'll tell you,
if you wanna
be prepared for people to scream at you and hate you, that is the way to do it. Aaron, thanks for your time. I appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Rob. Take care. Hey, and happy
Senator
Father's
Aaron
Day to your dad too, or Veterans Day.
Oh. Yeah, thank you.
Happy,
thank you. I appreciate
Veterans
that.
Happy Veterans Day to your dad. Okay, take care.
Yeah, thank you. That's Aaron Oban, state senator from Bismarck, rare Democrat elected in fact, the only Democrat elected in Western North Dakota. This is the Rob Report, 970 WDY AM, 93.1 FM. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back, Rob Report, 970 WDY AM, 93.1 FM, 701-293-9000, 888-970-9329. Email talk at WDAY.com. It's this stuff is complex. We just finished up talking with Aaron Oban, state senator from Bismarck, and it is. I mean, this stuff is complex. I think at this point, how you connect, particularly in local elections like a legislative race, how you connect with people is important. How you're perceived in the community is important. How you vote is obviously important as well. You know, this stuff is complex, but there's clearly something going on with Democrats in North Dakota where, you know, people just don't trust the brand. Right? I mean, people just don't trust. People don't. They just, if you're a Democrat, I mean, immediately you have an obstacle to overcome in most places in North Dakota. And I don't know that Democrats are willing enough necessarily, and even you know, hearing what Aaron was just talking about, I don't know that they're willing enough to explore that, explore why that is. You know, I have a feeling that, you know, we'll see what changes in the coming cycles, but I have a feeling that the Democrats are going to be down and out in North Dakota. They've been down and out in North Dakota for a while. I feel like it's going to continue, and it's going to continue until something changes. Because they keep doing this thing where they blame their losses on, oh, it's the National Party, or it's Trump, or it's this, that, or the other thing. At some point, there's something with the brand locally here in North Dakota that's the problem. All right, we got to take another break. We're a little long with Aaron. This is the Rob Report, 970 WDYAM, 93.1 FM. Hey, what's going on with these National Guard students losing their scholarship money? Madison Rogers is a spokesperson for the students. He joins me next here on 970 WDYAM 93.1 FM. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Welcome back, Rob Port, 970 WDYAM 93.1 FM. So it's Veterans Day today, and rightfully so. We're spending a lot of time talking about how important our military veterans are, the folks who serve our country in capacities like in the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, and including the National Guard. But as we celebrate Veterans Day and our veterans, we're also got an ugly story about ROTC students losing scholarships. So these are our future servicemen and women. It kind of seems, as I'm reading this Associated Press report, kind of seems like they're having the rug pulled out from under them. I quote, this is Dave Kolbach for the Associated Press. Some National Guard students attending North Dakota colleges on ROTC scholarships are scrambling to find ways to stay in school after the State Guard announced it could no longer fund its share of the program. The students were expecting free tuition that for years had been covered by a combination of federal and state funds. Lee Bouchard, I'm probably butchering this guy's last name, but I think it's Lee Bouchard, the Guard's Education Services officer, said the state no longer has enough money to cover a shortfall created by both tuition increases and a decline in federal support. Students could be out as much as $5,000 for the spring semester. We kept plugging the holes that were made by the federal government, Bashaw said. Now we can't fix it. Here to talk with me about that is Madison Rogers. He is an erstwhile candidate for the state legislature. He was unsuccessful, unfortunately, on Election Day. But he's here now as a spokesman for some of these students. Madison, how are you?
Not too bad. How's it going?
Going well. How did we get here, Madison? What's going on?
Well, it was just a matter of being in, I guess, the right place at the right time. I was speaking with a couple friends, and they brought up how, this was probably back in September, where they just brought up how they didn't know what to do or how they were going to afford the next semester. I was like, what are you talking about? Don't you get free tuition and all that? And they're like, no, really, our tuition got cut. And so what I ended up deciding to do is looking into it more and asking some more questions. And turns out, yeah, their spring semester was no longer going to be funded.
So how did, I mean, how do we get to this point where it's not going to be funded? I mean, did nobody see this coming? I mean, is this a surprise? I mean, was this sprung on them?
Well, I think part of it is because their budget that they had forecasted was back in 2016. And so, I mean, that's a few years where there's unforeseen things that could pop up and whatnot. And so I think it was a combination of just multiple federal programs that got cut, and then also increases in university tuitions. So I think it was just, yeah, a lot of those unforeseen things that accumulated into something where their budget request in 2016 didn't cover. So
who do we blame for this? I mean, do we? I mean, because again, I mean, this seems like we're really letting these students down. Is that fair to say, or am I reading too much into this?
No, I would agree on that, but at the same time, there's not really any place I say that blame could go. It was just accumulation of a bunch of errors and whatnot that really is out of our control. And unless there's like a backup budget, there's really nothing that anyone could do about it. It wasn't, I don't believe it's intentional, obviously not. And I think the Guard is scrambling to make amends to where they do make sure that these students are covered and their tuition is accounted for, I guess you could say.
Well, has anybody talked to, like, the legislature, spoken with our members of Congress? I mean, is there something at this point that could be done to make these students whole again?
Yeah, there's actually quite a few different things. So I know the Guard is meeting with the Emergency Commission next week. And that's something where the Guard can ask the legislature permission to move some funding around. So say they have something left over in a different bucket, they can move it over to their ROTC one. And then if that doesn't work out, really it'd be up to the universities playing the biggest role in it, whether they could waive some tuition or forgive some, or even put off charging them tuition in January and let them let the tuition hold out until, say, April, when the legislature can maybe appropriate some money to compensate for the thing. So at the end of the day, the money's coming from the state, whether it's going to be through emergency funds, the university system, it all leads back to the legislature. And really, I think I don't see too many that would be against helping these students out.
I feel like that's something that shouldn't be that hard to do. How many students are we talking about? Is it around 100?
Yeah, I would say, I think it's a little bit over 100. And
okay,
it's not only ROTC, but I think they also had a, so you can break it into a few different parts. ROTC, undergrad, and then post-undergrad, so med school, law school, and all that. So ROTC is feeling one of the biggest hits, and then you have undergrad, who their fees are no longer being covered. So they're still getting tuition, but they're going to have to cover the student fees, like technology fees and stuff like that. So that's not as bad. But then you also have people going through med school where tuition, like seeking masters and all that, who are no longer getting their funding as well. So it's not only affecting our future officers, it's affecting some of our future doctors and lawyers and whatnot.
These are students that are spread out. Are these only the students in the North Dakota University system, or are these all the Guard members who are attending college, North Dakota National Guard members who are turning in ROTC who are attending college now?
So it's all North Dakota Guardsmen that I believe that are being affected in terms of student fees being cut, but it's only North Dakota ROTC that are seeing and graduate programs that are seeing their tuition cut. So we have Minnesota Guard and North Dakota National Guard attending NDSU. It's only the North Dakota students that are seeing their tuition cut.
How much of a shortfall are we talking about? Do we have a dollar figure? I mean, if we're talking about 100 students, I mean, on one hand, that is a lot of students, but in the context of our state budgets and everything else, this can't be a huge amount of money.
Well, in the context of the state budgets, not at all. I think it's roughly, the last number I heard was 130,000, but I think it's probably around the $150,000 ballpark. But so it's not a great amount of money. And what I would tell people too is it's kind of a future investment that we need to protect, because if our recruiting is hurt in terms of we can't follow through on our promises, even the Pentagon down the road will look, seeing that our numbers are dwindling, then they're, I mean, going to point the scissors our direction, start cutting the guard. But with it, they're also going to, I mean, they're already going to have their attention on North Dakota and could possibly affect the other branches or even the bases or whatnot. So it's...
I mean, how do you recruit? How do you recruit if students are looking? I mean, think of the students who are in high school now who are saying, you know, maybe I'll sign up to the National Guard because they provide benefits like money for tuition and whatnot. That would be advantageous for me. So I'll give them my service, and in return, I'll get these things. Except the things I get back, I may not actually get. I mean, I got to think there's a lot of students who are looking at this situation now thinking, gosh, do I really want to get, you know, 1, 2, 3 years into my National Guard service and then have the rug pulled out from under me? I mean, this is not good from a recruitment standpoint.
No, absolutely not. I believe it's horrible, in fact. And then also, it's ROTC, so we're hitting it. We're pulling the rug out from under our future officers. And North Dakota is going to be in need of a lot of these individuals in a few years, and we don't want to pump all these resources into these students just to have them transfer to a different state or different post. We need this talent in North Dakota, and I think that will greatly affect us in many different ways as well.
Well, no kidding. Now, when did the decision? I gotta imagine, like, the legislature or somebody made a decision about the budget at some point that led us to this. Was it this last legislative session when they were trimming budgets that led us to this point, or has this been coming for a while?
So what happened in 2016, they had their proposed budget. So in 2017, the legislature granted them the full amount of what they asked for. So it wasn't really the legislature. I mean, they gave the Guard everything they asked for. It was just in the projected budget. They didn't see that increase in tuition and the decrease in federal grant programs and military budgets when it came to these sort of programs.
Okay, so the increase in tuition, and that's at all the various, because, again, we're not talking about just, are all these students in the North Dakota University system, or some of them at private universities, or how does this work?
From my understanding, I believe, well, all the ROTC students, I believe, are in public, at public universities. There might be some guardsmen who are using these programs or tuition waivers for private programs, maybe for their masters or whatnot, but I can't speak clearly on that one.
Is there anything the public can do? I mean, I got to imagine, with this, it's Veterans Day today. We're talking about something that's pretty basic, too. I mean, this is a big selling point of the National Guard. You go into the National Guard, they help you pay for your education. I mean, this is a huge part of that recruitment tool. I got to imagine there's a lot of people who are listening to this right now saying, what can I do to help? Can they? I hate to say, because I don't really like the idea of a GoFundMe as a solution here, but I mean, is there something the average person listening to this can do to help?
Yeah, I would say, well, for one, these are servicemen and women who signed up for the National Guard, which is our state defense in terms of if there's a disaster, they're the one that spring into action. And then on the national level, same thing. And then they're also asked to deploy in international situations, whether that's combat or not. So I think we need to do as much as possible, especially when it comes to these promises, and we need to stick to these promises. So what can be done is, well, for this upcoming session, I think we can only hope that the legislature for the spring semester has they cover it. But obviously this is a problem that's going to carry over into the next session. So it's a matter of speaking to your local representation. It's your senators and your representatives, and saying, hey, make sure you have these people's backs because they have ours. And that's really just making it known. And the legislature doesn't go through knowing everything. Sometimes these issues have to be brought to their attention. I think this is one of those issues that can be brought to them. And I think they'll definitely be more than happy to help out, or you can only hope.
Right. Well, I mean, like you said, the legislature gave the guard everything they asked for. So I imagine the lawmakers are thinking, you know, we did our part. You know, we gave them everything they asked for. It's just, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to this. One of it is the tuition at all the various universities that these students are at. Another part of it is obviously the federal government's component to this. But I got to think it's in North Dakota. Whatever else the federal government's going to do, whatever else our universities are going to do, and I think you're right, maybe the North Dakota university system could do some waivers or maybe move some of the deadlines for when these payments are around to help these students out. And I certainly hope the university system takes action there because, again, we're not talking about a huge number of students here. I feel like there's some help they can provide. But the legislature, we got to do this. I mean, we talk about wanting young people to come to North Dakota and stay in North Dakota. Well, here's a group of fine young people who are working their way into being officers, being, you know, proud members of our National Guard, and they're being hurt by this. And I don't, you know, at the beginning of this, I was ready for some heads to roll at the legislature if they, you know, cut out. But it sounds like, Madison, from what you're telling me, that's not the case. But they better step up. They better step up and do something about this because this is wrong. This is wrong.
Absolutely. I agree.
Madison, thanks for your time. Anything else, people who want to keep following this, how do we stay on top of this?
Really, it's just a matter of contacting your local legislator again and make sure that they know what's going on and then make sure that they're following along in this process so they can get prepared for the next session just in case it doesn't work out the way that it's It should next week, so.
Yeah. Well, the next session starts in January, so, you know, hopefully the cavalry's on the way and we'll get this fixed. Madison, thank you for your time today.
Yep, thank you, sir.
That's Madison Rogers. This is Rob Port, 970 WDYM, 93.1 FM. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back, Rob Port, 970 WDYM, 93.1 FM. A few minutes left of the show. If you want to join in, 701-293-9000, 888 970-9329, email talk at WDAY.com. Ben, I'll tell you one nice thing I was happy to hear, because I was ready to call for some heads to roll in the legislature if these National Guard students, these ROTC students, had the rug pulled out from under them because the legislature was cutting funding. And we're not talking about a huge amount of money. I mean, Madison ballparked it at about $150,000. That's a lot of money to you and I. In the context of our state budget, that's not a lot of money. If we pulled the rug out under those students over that amount of money, shame on the legislature if that's what happened. And I already saw some people trying to make some political hay out of this. But from what Madison just told me, the legislature fully funded the National Guard's request. And so it sounds like what happened is there were some unexpected tuition increases in the amount. There's some unexpected reductions in the federal contribution to this program, and now we're stuck. And our legislature doesn't come back into session until January. So, you know, we got a window here. Now, the solution here seems obvious. You know, it seems like the North Dakota University system can maybe waive some tuition or at the very least delay when some of this is due until, you know, it give the legislature a chance to, you know, make the funds available. But the legislature better make the funds available. If they don't, I mean, this is terrible. I mean, if you're a student, it's incredibly unfair to those students. Yeah, and also possible future recruits,
right?
Who are thinking about like if I'm going to sign up for the National Guard. Well, what if you sign up for a deal, and then the state and the federal government and the university, they don't make good on it, and now you're giving them your service, right? You're showing up, you're doing your part. You're being deployed. You're doing the training. You're doing everything that they ask of you, but then they don't follow through and make good on their promises with regard to tuition. Why on earth would you join the National Guard on that point? At that point, you know. And obviously, there's a lot of great reasons to serve the National Guard, to serve your country and everything else. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you got to be fair with the recruits, and you can't blame them if stuff like this happens. You can't blame them for saying, "Gosh, maybe I don't want to sign up." If the people who sign up are going to get a raw deal.
What I'm wondering, is there any chance that students, if this doesn't get fixed, could they sue or something? Is there like legal action that they could take?
I don't know. I mean, how do you sue the...
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you sue? I mean, you can't open up... No. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think you could sue legislatures for not.
It's just kind of too bad, so sad.
I guess.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the raw. I mean, that's why we got to make good on this. I mean, we don't have a choice. We got to make good on this. Mm-hmm. And the fact that this story is breaking on Veterans Day, you know, throughout the history of our country, we have
more.
Yeah. In modern America, 2018, I think that we do a pretty good job of honoring our veterans. But even now, like even in this environment, where objectively, like there's almost 100% universal support for our troops, right? I mean, we may disagree in the foreign policy that our troops are sometimes used in pursuit of. We support our troops. Right. Democrat, Republican, Green Party, Liberty, doesn't matter. We support them for their service and their sacrifice. But even in this environment, we don't always do a very good job at it. I mean, look at the mess sometimes at the VA, right? The Department of Veterans Affairs. I mean, at times, that's been an absolute mess. And we can go back throughout history. There have been times where we have not done right by our troops. And every time we fall short of that, it's a shame. It's a black mark. And so our state lawmakers, and I'm going to work for tomorrow's show. I'm going to work on getting maybe some guests on, and we can figure out how to address this going further. But this situation is not good. It's not good. 701-293-9000. Oh, I tell you what, we're gonna go Jay Thomas Show straight All ahead. Right. Stay tuned for that. You can always catch me here at least the rest of this week, 12 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday on 970 WDIM 93.1 FM. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again.